The University of Arkansas Museum was recently awarded a $30,000 grant from the Institute of Museum and Library Services to rehouse its collection of mammal skins and bones, which includes everything from Arkansas native skunks to a whale head, obviously not found in Arkansas. Ozarks at Large's Christina Thomas visited the collection and has this report.
Though the University Museum closed in 2003, the collection remains intact and available for viewing upon request in the south half of the Arkansas Archaeological Survey building. Nancy McCartney is the curator of zoology.
Mostly this is to maintain the collections because each object can tell a story. And so if we have, 7 to 9 million objects, you could have 7 to 9 million stories, which we're not going to tell you today, but we have to preserve those stories because this is a little slice in time, and you will not be able to go back and get these things, and so we're trying our best to keep them so that in 50 or 100 or how many years, somebody comes back and decides, well, here's another angle of the story that hasn't been told, and we've got better equipment and technology, and we can tell a better story. So that's what we're trying to do here.
The star collection here is the archaeological collection. But among those 7 to 9 million objects are over 4,000 mammal skins, skeletons, and sets of bones. The money they have received from the Institute of Museum and Library Services will be to take care of the study skins.
If we had a deer hide, we would try to put it in with the rest of the bones so that if an archaeologist came and they wanted to identify some fragment of a deer, they could pick out a comparable bone and find everything. And if they had hair samples, they could take a couple hairs from the hide and so forth and look at them.
The first step in preserving a mammal takes place in the lab, where the stuff happens, cleaning off the specimen.
These are river otters that were collected for somebody's dissertation many years ago, and we used to have a dermestid beetle colony where you could strip the skeletons down and sort of make them look like beef jerky, and the larvae go after them and clean them up, and they do a wonderful job, and they work 24 hours a day, and they never complain, and they stink to high heaven. Well, we don't have a beetle colony anymore, so at this point, we have to do these by hand. So if you had been here yesterday, you would have seen the other two of the four people who are involved in this project, the graduate assistant and the work study student, sitting here picking off the flesh with tweezers. So this is not as effective, and they complain a great deal more than the bugs do.
Chemicals are not used, but each piece has to be stripped off, cleaned off, numbered, and cataloged so that one river otter does not get mixed up with another river otter. They have over 250 of them. Part of this project is to organize each specimen into proper taxonomical order, based on the book, The Mammal Species of the World. Part of that will be to upload data to the University of Kansas's site, VertNet, a national database of vertebrate collections, so that researchers anywhere can have access to the University of Arkansas collection. Inside the climate-controlled collection space, there are rows and rows of light gray containers, resembling oversized filing cabinets. They contain drawers of varying sizes.
Here are a bunch of spotted skunks, and these skunks and about 1,500 other specimens came from Dr. Seelander, who was an emeritus and now deceased professor of mammalogy at the university, and some of his graduate students have contributed the coyotes and the bobcats and things like that.
In her tenure at the museum, spanning part-time and full-time positions since 1974, McCartney has collected as many as Dr. Seelander did. Seelander wrote the book, The Mammals of Arkansas. His collection has a record of where each specimen was collected. Mary Suter is curator of collections.
All that data stays connected with the animal through the catalog number, and sometimes the locality information is more or as important as the specimen itself. If people are doing studies of a range that a certain animal went over, you can look at old museum records and see if such and such an animal was found here, 10, 15, 20 years ago, or so you can tell whether their range is expanding or contracting.
Because the collections capture a moment in time, never again will we have a spotted skunk from 1976 found in old Alabama. The database portion of this project will take about 50% of the time spent. The other half will be spent storing the specimens so that they meet the highest possible standards in care and management of natural history collections.
Okay, these are Viking cases. These are top of the line. And they're very expensive, but they're balanced and they're supposedly bug-proof because of all this little seal around here, which they probably aren't. This is a lovely cabinet as compared to some of those old ones down there that we are going to eventually phase out. So due to Mary's careful grant writing, we have been gradually accumulating more cases of good quality.
They have the seal, so they're airtight. And they keep the environment that your outside environment sealed into your inside, so that if you ever have like a system fail and your system goes down, the cases will maintain the temperature and humidity that they're supposed to. They are, despite Nancy's disclaimer, pretty much bug proof. They're locking. They have a powder coat finish, which is standard.
Proper care is necessary because you just don't know what research question may come up in 50 years. Bugs are perhaps the biggest enemy to animal skins, and drawers have to be checked periodically. McCartney twists the latch that is sunken into the front of one of the chest-high cases and pulls out a drawer containing a collection of small rodents.
And one of the reasons we do that is that a lot of these things are kind of crowded. And you wouldn't think they would move around, but these boxes have shifted back and forth. And just, have you seen Night at the Museum? Well, I think things walk around here at night or something because things move. And we're going to have some little individual trays so that instead of having everything moving around, you can pick up a whole tray if you want to go and study it and then put it back in place and it will be held so that it's not moving, which surely is not good for things.
She likens this organization to fitting a three-dimensional evolutionary tree of life into a two-dimensional series of drawers, hand-making the cardboard boxes and hand-labeling each piece. In the rodent drawer underneath a large beaver skin is perhaps Nancy McCartney's favorite specimen.
These are golden mice. There are 20-some species of little rodents in Arkansas, and you never see them. The ones you see are the house mice and the rats, and these are invasive species that are European or Asian or so forth that have come in and lived very successfully with man. But these are the little guys that are running around in your backyard and in the fields and so forth.
Collections has already received grants to reorganize and preserve the eggs and birds, amphibians, and fish. McCartney says that once the mammal project is complete, mollusks will be the only item left. But they'll have to wait about 2 years until the mammal project is completed. In addition to helping researchers write books, the collections are also open to classes at the university or to local groups that would like to visit, including art classes to draw the specimen, with about 600 people coming through in the last year. Items can also be loaned out to other museums. Shiloh in Springdale has a current exhibit, and beginning next month, one will be installed at the Butler Center in Little Rock. For information on the University of Arkansas collection, museum.uark.edu. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Christina Thomas.